Blog Talk Radio.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
Ascension, from the Latin ascensionem, arising, a noun of action from the past participle stem ascendere, to mount, to ascend, to go up. The first known use of this was in the 14th century. So, a little bit before this, the Old English term for rising, risan, to rise from sleep, or to flow, or the Proto-German, us risanen, to go up, or the High German, reisen, R-E-I-S-E-N, which also links to travel. And part of the etymological history of travel or travail is to toil or to labor. So perhaps it should be considered or concluded that awakening, rising, ascending is hard work, toil, and labor. Our guest tonight is Gail Mack. She's also a show host herself and has a website, Keys to Ascension, amongst other things. We'll be right back with Main Street Universe. Join us in our circle. Everybody, welcome to another episode of Main Street Universe, the show reminding you that the mysteries and possibilities of the universe are closer to Main Street than you may have ever imagined. And as you can hear, I'm out here in the recording studio, Cafe Fairfax, where we do our show live. And I see my associate producer, co-host, is here as well. Welcome, Janice.
Welcome, everybody.
And Janice is host of the World
Reggae Party
here in Radio Fairfax, public access radio, right? Is that what
yes.
I almost said public radio. There's a slight difference, but public access radio is pretty impressive here in Fairfax, Virginia. Great studio. I've been to it. I was very impressed. I wasn't sure what I was walking into, because at one point we were going to turn Main Street Universe into a television show. In fact, we already had it approved, but
yes.
Kevin Baird was the in for that. And then he left and he moved away out to Chicago or wherever it is, Illinois, actually. And so that just fizzled out, which might have been for the best. I don't know if I could have done a television show every week.
But Daniel was my first musical guest on my first year anniversary.
On World Reggae Party.
Yes.
So I want to remind everybody briefly, right after bringing on our third host, Mr. Brett Hillman. His microphone is spinning slow, so give me a second. Spinning. Welcome, Brett.
Hello.
Welcome.
Welcome, Brett.
Thank you.
And Brett has been with us.
Glad to be here.
Our second or third show, historically, right, Brett? Been with us since
that
about...
That sounds about right. I think I listened to the first episode.
Oh, you have.
I didn't join until the second.
Oh, okay. Well, that's our... third host, Mr. Brett Hillman.
Yes.
Now, I'd like to remind everybody that Main Street Universe is, in fact, a network of 6 shows, going on soon being 7 or 8, and maybe even
9
at some point. We have, of course, this one, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Main Street Universe, the flagship show, the one that started it all, started by myself and co-creator, co-founder, Mr. Kevin Baer, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Then on Thursdays at 1 p.m., we have Queen Mother Imaku with her show Uatau, all about the Kemetic African tradition, as some people forget that Egypt is, in fact,
Africa, yes.
And not the, quote, Middle East. Then, of course, we have Friday evenings at 12 midnight, Jesse and Nicholas George with Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. Jesse has just finished her 2 new books, You, Me, Life, Dreams. That, why I say 2 is because it also has an accompanying workbook along with it. So, You, Me, Life, Dreams, Activating Compassion in the Midnight
Hour. That's
her
first book.
That was the name of her first book, Activating Compassion. So her show took on the same name, and I guess that's why I changed the name of the show now. And on Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Mr. Darren Bouquet calling us all the way from the magical city of
New Orleans.
Darren is a reader at Marie Laveau's House of Voodoo in the magical city of New Orleans. 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Monday evenings, we have Walking on the Sidewalk, A Horizon Oracle's Journey with your host, Mr. Kevin Baird. And Kevin has been an intuitive consultant now for quite a few years and is multi-generational in that aspect. And I think his grandfather was a dowser as well, so he has a long metaphysical history. And Kevin is an artist and created an oracle card series called The Horizon Oracle. Kevin can be found at www.templeofgaia.com. And then on Tuesday evenings, how can we forget, Master Herbalist Susan Weed.
She did an interesting show last night.
Oh, yeah, it's always great. And we were just talking about the power of dandelions last evening and how it's one of the very best things for your liver. And that's 10 p.m. Eastern Time. So dandelion broth or tinctures and things like that also helps you sleep, but it's a total liver cleanse, unblocking. And she was also describing how the liver is not just a, quote, filter. It's more of a processing place that can make things from bad to better, not just filtering in that way. All these different functions. But tune in at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for Susan Weed. Glad to have her on the network once a week with us here at Main Street Universe. Then we'll have a few rotating shows I'll mention and then get to our guests. The rotating shows are, well, one is soon to be a reality that will probably be every Friday, right, which would be World Reggae Party. Then the other one that have started but are just yet to continue are Earthlight Radio, all about UFOs and starseeds and all that, with Ishitar, waiting for her to get settled and all that. And we have, and she's done her first episode, actually, but then she had to move. So, and then Mary Thielen is coming back once a month or so for her show about all different sorts of spiritual and intuitive things. A long-time metaphysical pioneer here in Northern Virginia. So many people know who Mary is. And she started the Psychic Saturday Tarot for Charity, whatever that thing is, at the Arlington Metaphysical Church. And
oh,
I didn't know that until I talked
to
her. But
okay.
I'm aware of it. I've been there before.
Yes, I have too. Very interesting.
And they raise money often for the AMC, the Arlington Metaphysical Church, and I think they sometimes raise money for a charity or something like that as well. So people come in, pay for a reading, and the money goes to some different things. So our guest this evening is Gail Mack, and I'm going to go ahead and bring her on. Welcome, Gail, to Main Street Universe.
Welcome, Gail.
Hey, thank you very much.
Now,
Gail,
amongst other things that you do, and I'll start off with the questioning, then we'll probably go to Janice. And you started a site or co-founded a site called Keys to Ascension. And as I was reading this, I noticed there was a thing that said, trained as a Mary. And I wonder if you could explain that to me, trained as a Mary, and to the audience.
Yes. A Mary is a healer that has been trained in either the art through spiritual guidance, through specific courses, It's the esoteric, the teachers, the healers, the givers and bringers of light. And I have for many generations and in my past lifetime been a healer and trained as a Mary with Mary Magdalene. In this lifetime, I have been healing since the age of 3. That's when it was noticed. And my life has just been given to the healing arts, herbal, hands-on, spiritual healing. So I was trained from my grandparents and my grandmother, long line of Hungarian gypsies that were hands-on and herbal healers, and trained with my spirit guides and Mary Magdalene in the Temple of Isis in Egypt. Information came in France. Information came. So I've just been in this lifetime, just been spiritually trained from my guides and Divine Mother.
Okay. And from there, I guess that'll take me to my next question, similar, you know, coming from characters in both fiction and nonfiction, but of course they were a very real thing. And there was also mention of the Etheric Templar Knights, and maybe you could explain that for the listeners, the Etheric Templar Knights.
The Knight Templars were protectors of Mary Magdalene and the Divine Feminine. And when, in 1996, when I was in France doing a Black Madonna tour and the Holy Grail tour, we went to a church in, I'll think of it in a minute, just escape me, Montserrat. We were in Montserrat, and we were in the main chapel, and I noticed that a side door was open. So I got a couple of the people that were with us in the tour, and we went through the door, and it was a private chapel. And this large statue of Archangel Michael and Mary and Jesus were also there, Mary Magdalene. And we sat in meditation, and Archangel Michael came down and spoke to all of us, and we all heard and saw the same thing, and we were knighted, and we were told that we were all trained as Marys in this lifetime and in previous lifetimes, and that the Knights Templar were with us to protect us and guide us on our journey to bring the balance of the Divine Feminine back into humanity. So since 96, I've been working with the Knights Templar.
Okay, and I guess going from that to Divine Feminine, we'll go into Janice's line of questioning.
Hi, Gail. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, wonderful. Thank you very much. Good to hear you.
Good, good. I know I read on your bio about you having the gift of channeling messages since you were 3 years old. Can you go into telling us a little bit more about the discovery of your abilities at three, from three to what are you doing now?
Okay. When I was three, several things took place that my grandparents took notice of. One, I would stand in the garden and the hummingbirds would light in my hand and I would pet the hummingbirds and play with the hummingbirds and the butterflies. And my cousin had broken his arm falling out of a tree, and he had a cast on, and when he came back from getting the cast on, I was guided to put my hands on his cast, and my aunt was a little bit nervous about that and said to leave his arm alone, and he said, no, it feels good. It's nice and warm. And for me, when the energy finished and it got cool, then I kissed him on the cheek, and I went off, and he promptly went back out and fell from the tree again and broke his cast and came back in a sling because his arm was healed, and so he didn't require the cast. So in the hearing and the channeling, I would hear angels and people who had passed over. They would come to me to give messages to loved ones. And the first time I heard or saw a channeling and saw a little spirit was a little boy at church, and he had motioned me to come over, and to me, he looked like he was just a little boy standing next to his mother, and he motioned me to come over, and he asked me to tell his mother, ask her not to cry anymore, that she cried every night before she went to bed holding his picture, and that to tell her that he was happy and with his grandma, and she didn't need to cry, because that was binding him to the earth. Mm-hmm. And so I shared that with her, and she got a little bit upset and screaming that her son had passed away and why was I being so cruel, and she started shaking me. So my mom runs over to see why this woman is shaking her three-year-old, and the lady explained what happened, and I told my mom what I was seeing, and she said to the lady, you know, she sees things, so if she says she's seeing your little boy, she is. So I described the picture, what he was wearing in the picture, and what her mother looked like. And then she dropped to her knees, and she had this healing, and she hugged me, and she asked if he was still there. And he was. And I said, he's hugging you right now. And you could see her transform, and she actually felt him. And that was what he needed to be able to go over completely into the light and not hang, because she was keeping him bound here. So it ended up being a very nice thing. So from then on, I would just hear things, see things, share what I was asked to. And
yeah, it just evolved. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I said it just evolved to this today.
Wonderful. And do you consider your healing, because I know you talked about placing your hands on your cousin's broken arm. So do you consider your healing similar to Reiki, or do you feel like it's broader than that or more powerful than that, given the fact that there's several forms of Reiki out? I don't know what the last count is, but I know it's over 75 different forms of Reiki.
Well, Reiki is really healing with the hand. It's just manipulating energy, and that's what an alchemist is. And so there's many different techniques out there of healing hands, and it really just comes from one person who heals in a certain way, and somebody asks if they can share it, and it becomes now a teaching. And then when many people follow it, then that's the practice or the technique gets labeled. So I wouldn't box it as Reiki, but I would say that it does incorporate Reiki. I don't necessarily have to have my hands on when I'm doing healing. Oftentimes I have seen people and just sent them healing either in their presence or thought about them. Strangers. I love seeing strangers and sending them a little energy. I always ask first if it's appropriate, because I don't want to interfere with their lessons in their journey for this lifetime. And if I'm given the guidance to heal, and then I send a little energy, and they usually will pop up and then turn around and make eye contact with me and smile because they know something took place, or they just recognize them. But I always ask first when I'm doing energy. So the energy can be either on a person or on land. I have walked across places in France where it needed to be healed, where there were many people that were massacred in one area. And I walked over the spot. I could feel the sorrow and the sorrow of the ages, and immediately started transforming and healing that land and the souls that were trapped there. And it's just a very beautiful thing. So it just comes, it's powerful, it comes through my hands, comes through my eyes, sometimes just my presence of walking in the room. So I don't label
it. I know I'm a Reiki master myself, and I know also that you gave me a little bit of of a boost earlier when we were talking, and I felt it. Thank you. So I know that energy work works, and I know it works through different channels. It doesn't have to necessarily have to be Reiki or therapeutic touch or light body meditation or any of those things.
I just want to say we do have a few phone calls here. And I kind of was curious if you wouldn't mind answering a question or comment from a caller, Gail.
Oh, not at all. Please.
Okay. I see 330 has been on for a pretty long time. Spinning, 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 spinning. Sometimes that little icon spins. Are you there, 330? Can you hear me? I pushed on their microphone, but it's not going on. Sometimes Blog Talk Radio does that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like 3CPO.
Hello? Hello, hello. I've pressed on both 618, who I know who that is, and 330, and honestly, your icons are just spinning right now. I guess we'll keep talking, and if their icons happen to come back on.
Then we'll ask. They can ask the question.
For people that know the Blog Talk Radio studio page, they've seen this before if they've ever been a host here. And sometimes you press on, it happens for a song, it happens for if you bring people on the air, and sometimes that icon just starts spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning. So go ahead, Denise, and
okay.
See if I can get these callers on.
All right. Well, I know you from the Fellowship of Isis, and
yes.
We saw each other not that long ago in September for the Dulce Dome for our friend Dina Hadaway Buddha, as well as doing the Goddess Fest. So my question to you is, who is Isis?
Hello?
Oh, 330
Hello?
Just came.
Oh.
Okay.
Hi.
All right. Hold that question.
Go ahead, 330.
Yes.
I don't know what I can ask because I'm new. I never heard the show before, but I do have a specific question. I've been trying to get answers. My fiance's father passed over. I was wondering if he had any messages because my fiance is taking it very hard. He's been gone for like 9 years now. He's still taking it hard. He has a lot of guilt because of his father passing.
Do you like me to?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. Oh, well, you know, the guilt, did you say your fiancé?
Yeah, my fiancé has a lot of guilt because he had an opportunity to save his father's life, but it was, like, too late to save his father's life, and he feels
well,
guilty
you know,
about that.
The guilt is, he really should let that go because in divine accordance, if your fiancé was supposed to be present and he was supposed to help and there was something that could have been done, it would have been done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
right.
What I said earlier about stepping into somebody's journey. When somebody makes a choice and it's their contract to go at this time, they're ready to go, it really doesn't matter what anybody does. If it was supposed to be, it happened. And I really firmly believe that. And when you believe in divine accordance, then it takes away the guilt, the blame, the shame. And you can go on with your life because it was divine. Some people, they weren't they weren't present and they promised, but they might have held their space in another way.
Yeah.
So know that your fiancé's father will be there when you are married, and there will be something that happens. I'm sensing that it's going to be a scent that you will be walked with, that will come out of nowhere, that will allow your fiancé to know that his father's present. But really, for the guilt, his father is fine. He's made the transition. He's grateful for the love that they had, and he's holding on to the good and has forgiven all that
okay.
was not so good, because, again, it was all divine. It was a co-creation by all those involved in those experiences. So
right.
ask your fiancé to hold on to the love. There's mm-hmm. also a process, too, called Ho'oponopono.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real simple process where you can just have your fiancé envision that he's holding his father and say just a simple
yeah.
word. You know that one? I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And it,
yeah.
it's really huge. You just say it, and it really shifts the energy really fast. So.
Yeah. Well, he was trying to get a hold of me the other night. I was on another psychic talk show, but they didn't get through to me. And they're they're calling in for somebody else because somebody else was online or whatever. And he came through, but
mm-hmm.
the real person was for me. And I was wondering why did he come through? Did he have a message for me, or did he have a message for his son? Or
well, the message is what I just shared with you, that
mm-hmm.
There is no. There's only love, there's forgiveness, there's understanding to have your fiancé hold that love and hold
mm-hmm.
those good things that he has.
Okay.
And just know that if he was supposed to be there or to do anything different, it would have been in divine accordance.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. All right. Bye.
Have a happy marriage.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, thank
right.
you for calling.
Bye.
It's spinning, but it'll probably go off soon. And that's something that people talk about, is you hear people talk about divine contract or one that's always being written.
Yeah.
They talk about divine accordance, meaning if it was meant to be that way, then that's what would have happened. But something could have changed in the contract, or it was just meant that's how it's... And we have a part to play in those things, too. It's not like it just happened. But for whatever reason, for that time, that's how it was meant to happen. Just like when you were talking about... You should ask permission before sending healing energy to somebody.
Yeah,
I've even heard some cases where people actually were like, you shouldn't have done that. I think one that I remember famously was Maxine Saunders from, you know, the famous King of the Witches, Alexandra.
Oh, yes.
I think it was like her son or something. And all these ladies, or it was a son or brother or whoever it was, but it was someone that people just were randomly said, we're going to send all this healing energy. And she said, he hasn't asked for it. And she actually said he got worse in the hospital during.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very funny thing. A lot of people don't know that, especially if it's in a specific kind. I think maybe just a little prayer is different than if it's a specific healing technique. Just to ask.
Yeah.
Because they say they might not be able to handle it. They might not be able to take in all this extra energy, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. True.
So, what I was talking about before the caller, and it was a very good question from the caller, is who is Isis to you?
Isis, for me, is the is. She is an aspect of the divine feminine. And the Fellowship of Isis really gave me direction. I was wide open with my spirituality. For a little while, I was always wide open, and then I got a little scared, and things were happening spiritually, and I wasn't sure whether I was creating it, so I kind of pulled in my energy just a little, actually a lot, and I didn't do anything for a couple of years. And then when I moved to Atlanta, I had a girlfriend of mine said, oh, you got to come to this circle. You're going to love it. It's right up your alley. So when I sat down in this spiritual circle, I was sitting against a stone wall or a brick wall. And as they started, it was a Fellowship of Isis circle. And as they started creating the sacred space and calling in the directions and calling in the ancestors, I could feel and see my ancestors behind me, and I could see in my mind's eye rows of people stepping up behind me, and I kept looking behind me, and my girlfriend said, what are you looking at? I said, my ancestors are behind me, and I truly had that feeling that I was home and that I had found my place, and I started doing teachings and schooling, and I asked for a teacher to guide me. And then I went through the ordinations in the Fellowship of Isis. And that, as you know, Janice, really, Lady Olivia Robertson has really tapped into spirituality and the divine feminine and Isis. And she has written wonderful mystery dramas that help you and teach you the different aspects and qualities of life and help you heal and move deeper into spirituality. So in the process of learning and going through the Fellowship of Isis teachings, when it was time for me to be ordained, I knew I was supposed to be ordained by Lady Olivia. And it wasn't an ego thing. I just saw that she was present to ordain me. So we created that, and I was ordained in Ireland. And then shortly after that, yes, it was very nice. Shortly after that, I went to Egypt, and that's when Isis came through me in a for 1988. I was in Egypt to anchor in the divine feminine. And that's when Isis came through me in the Temple of Isis. I was standing at the altar in the Temple of Isis in Philae. And we were in the midst of ceremony, and she came through me, stepped through me, and started speaking through my voice. And that was really what put me on my path of spirituality and really stepped up my game. I became my light body, and people saw me as a light body. And I spoke to 2, 3, and sometimes 4 people at a time, and she was having conversations with each one hearing their own message and me hearing all the messages at the same time. And I would say, oh, wow, this is so cool. And she would go.
I went to Egypt myself back in December of 2010. And 2010 was the Adelphi ordination that I had from Lady Olivia as well as from Dina Hardaway Buddha. And it was a really intense, because we went and we did the Goddess Fest, and we did the mystery play. Then I got ordained. Then I had to go and get my flight. that was like a big rude awakening. You know, you have all this spiritual work and all this energy and all of that. Then you go on something very mundane like an air flight, and it's kind of like crash and burn and elevate all at the same time. So it was really weird. But when I had went to Egypt, and I went in December of 2010, and they had the uprising in January of 2011. So, you know, my brothers were like, okay, what did you guys do in Egypt? And I'm like, what are you talking about? It's like, you go for 2 weeks and you come back and there's an uprising. And it's like, well, I don't know about all that, but I had my moment with her, with Isis, at her temple, as well as the Horus or Heru, the statue, because I have an affinity for Horus as well. And when I was at his temple, was actually the strongest, and the temple of Hatshepsut, because I bought back a statue of her that I thought was the statue of Isis, but after I actually got back to Virginia, and people were looking at it, and it's like, oh, no, that's not Isis, that's Hatshepsut, and I'm probably not saying it right, but you know who I'm talking about. So, and it's a beautiful, big temple, like in the middle of the desert, and, you know, like I said, I have an affinity to her. And all those things came together with my first ordination through Lady Olivia and Dina Buddha, and, you know, this year Dina had passed away, and mm-hmm. she was definitely a very long-standing teacher and high priestess with me, so it was a... We all knew it was coming, but it was still a terrible shock when it actually happened.
Yes. Dina was one of those rare ladies that she truly was a gift to everybody who knew her. She embodied so fully her faith and her belief in the goddess and divine, and she lived her life every moment in that way, in that fashion. She didn't stray. Her house was a temple. She dressed the part of a goddess. She was a librarian, and so she researched. She was a historian, and she just researched all the time, and she always had the best information and all the answers. And it really is a shame that she passed. And it was a wonderful honoring for her at the Dulce Doma, that
yes,
the mystery
beautiful.
Drama that we did,
so
the rite of rebirth.
There.
All right, and I see, you know, we've been on the air almost 40 minutes already. Can we believe it?
It went very fast.
Now, what we're going to do, we do have another caller here, Gail.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go ahead and take that. And then we're going to do two brief segments and then get back.
Okay.
Hello, 618.
Hello, yes, it's Kevin.
Welcome, Kevin.
Oh, welcome, Kevin.
Thank you.
Hi, Kevin.
I wanted to ask Gail how her dreams have been lately.
Oh, I have very, very intense dreams. And I hear this a lot with people. The dreams that we're having now are, it's like a multifaceted answer. Because your dreams, the issues, emotional issues, mental issues, spiritual issues that you have really packed away that you haven't looked at in a long time, those deep-seated, rooted, hidden away emotions and thought forms are surfacing. And you sometimes will bring them up in your dream time so your conscious mind gets a little used to it. Ahead of time before you actually integrate fully the thought into your waking consciousness. So often healings and things that need to be addressed in healings come up in dreams. So those have been coming up as well. I've seen a lot of foresight and what's the good and the chaotic and really, the dreams and moving into the light, I see that a lot. I see the light beings coming and helping us and keeping us in balance. And those that are on the call and are truly the light workers, we're the ones who are going to keep the balance. So in my dreams, I see the chaos, but it's those that are holding the light that are going to keep people from like falling off the deep end, I guess.
So is it single individual interactions or group interactions?
With my dream time?
Yes.
It's both. I see one-on-one things, and then they come to pass. I see group things. I see falling of like the economy. I see glimpses of the economy and those that are prepared, and not. I see things not to be to instill fear, but to create awareness that if you're steadfast in your faith and your trust in divine all that is, you have the tools to get through and overcome any adversity. So you will be the calm in the storm. So I see both as a group, as individuals in states, I see worldwide cultures. It's been very...
No, there are times where when you're dreaming that all your worries are suspended and that you're just hanging out and being social?
Well, no. I do a lot of work, and I have teaching. In my dream time, I also, and many people do this in their dream time, some are conscious and some are not, so I go into higher realms in my dream time, and it's easier for higher dimensional beings to come in and teach and share when I'm in dream time, because my conscious mind isn't getting in the way of what they're saying, how it's supposed to look. Oh, they don't have a body, it's just light, it's energy. Am I really hearing this? So in dream time, I'm schooled often. And sometimes I see in the foresight situations that could possibly be, and it allows me to know. I see myself interacting in the dreams, more in that lucid dreams where I then can take control, and then I know what to do should something like this come up. And then if I have that recurring dream, then I take what I learned from the first dream and I keep evolving it and I keep learning. So some of the situations have come to pass, and I knew what to do and how to handle it because I had the foresight that came into dream time. Does that make sense?
It does, because my dreams have been very active and in single individual interactions and also group interactions as well. And I'm sort of taking a poll of the people who are sort of, you know, consciously active, and some people would call it a professionally active in their path, mm-hmm. just to see what their take on what's happening in the dream zone. Because that place that we go to when we dream, everybody knows is eternal, and it's likely the place we go to after we pass away. And I was just looking to get your perspective on that, and it's been helpful.
Oh. Oneness, and it's moving multidimensional, and you don't have the physical body when you're in dream time to encumber you and weigh you down. And where was I? Had a train of thought that just came in and
okay.
out.
We were talking about single interactions and group interactions, and how people who are practicing what they were born sort of with to do and how they're dealing with, you know, life on a daily basis and also where they're going in their dream time too. So I was sort of taking a poll on that.
Apparently what I was supposed to say wasn't supposed to be said yet. So I usually can pick something back, but it's like, poop, it just went out. But just know that in that multidimensional time, we are moving. That is the oneness. And in our waking consciousness, we're in 3D, and we're moving. Those who meditate and are in waking meditation move from third dimension to five dimension. We're getting comfortable with that. It used to be that dream time was your fifth dimensional work and meditation was your fourth dimension. But we're now finding that as the planet is moving into a multidimensional state, we and everything that's on the Earth is moving into a multidimensional state. So we're actually finding ourselves in that fifth dimensional realm. And in our dream time is moving higher to the sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth dimensions, depending on where you are in your enlightenment.
It sounds like you're saying that advanced mediumship is fifth dimension or higher.
Yes. And you're just allowing yourself to connect and become one with all that is. The lighter you get and the more you practice moving into the light and the multidimensional realms, the better and the clearer you're going to be. And sometimes it begins in your dream time because you're not in the way. So you can program your dreams. You can program yourself. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Now it just, thank you very much. So what I had to do for a while was create a hologram of myself to sometimes do the learning for me and then come back and integrate. And sometimes it was me going into doing the learning and doing the battle, because sometimes I've done battle in my dream time in the higher realm. And I create a hologram that rests. So when I wake up in the morning and I integrate back into myself, then I'm fully rested, even though I've been working or I've been teaching, learning, battling the dark.
Right.
So there are people that send energies that try to infiltrate your dream time, and it's the coup, and sometimes they try to come in when you're sleeping because they think your defenses are down. So when you have your hologram up and your protection and you're in divine, unconditional love and you just have in that trust, then you can separate and you can do your work, and kind of interesting.
Well, I sort of work with a holographic individual as well, but I refer to it as an in-spirit companion, where they're working there. They're sort of your doppelganger, if you will, in the spirit realm or in the place where creativity and intuition is very active. And that place and what they do there helps us in the physical, but then we also get to socialize with them and interact with them during dream time as well. And I've had so many of my clients come to me and say, my dreams have just been so crazy. I've been trying to understand it, and I feel like I need to just sit for like 2 or 3 hours after I wake up just so I can rest from sleeping. So I was just wondering what your opinion of that was.
I actually have had quite a few people have that same experience and ask me that. And so you can do the journal. And you can also ask to integrate everything in a moment instead of waiting for 2 to 3 hours to integrate, because we are moving into a place of all-encompassing time. We just forget to ask and or unaware that we can ask. So if you feel like you have to integrate something or the energy or the dream and have the understanding, instead of taking 2 to 3 hours, just ask it all to come in to fruition, into your waking consciousness, into your understanding in this moment, and then walk into it.
Pretty intense. But I don't want to take up any more of your time, Gail. Again, my name is Kevin Baird, and I host the Monday show. So I found this conversation very interesting, and I just wanted to get your take on a few things. And again, thanks a lot. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, Janice. So.
Thank you,
great
Kevin.
Show.
Thank you, Kevin, for calling in. Always good to hear from you.
Thank you for your interaction.
Turning the microphone off now, and that's Kevin Barry. And we have about 11 minutes left.
Okay.
And this might tie into something that Janice may ask. I wanted to get this one out there because I had a very specific question about it.
Okay.
And you had done work or were in part an organizer for an event for the Parliament of the World Religions, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So did you want me to
I was going to ask, since we're running out of time, I was going to say describe the experience, but actually I want to get into something a little more modern with them. I knew they were having problems staying afloat. Are they still around, or do they still exist?
Well, they do still exist, but they really exist through email and a meeting a year or a couple meetings and in smaller groups. In the first 25 years when it was started by the sisters to bring unity of all the cultures, because they believe that true understanding of all the religions, because when you get down to it, most of the religions are saying pretty much the same thing. They just say it a little different way and they use different names.
Right.
So if you understand the different cultures, there would be peace in the world. And so it was a very active for the first 25 years, and the sisters had it. And then the cardinal took it over after 25 years. And then it's my understanding around the 50 year, it just kind of became, it wasn't as large and it was just something that was done. But the 100th year celebration brought it back. It kindled the fire and the spirit in that. And so they now hold every year, there's a different country that hosts the Parliament of World Religion, which has been a really wonderful thing. So the Dalai Lama came, and it was quite interesting because for 15 days you just sat, you got to choose who you wanted to listen to, and you would just go from room to room to room, and you would hear people explain their culture and their understanding, and it was really delightful to have so many people and such understanding and appreciation, you know, like the Jainians, you know, covering their mouth so they don't accidentally inhale something that of God's creation.
Thank you very much.
Quite
those meetings. It seemed like a fascinating gathering to go to.
Well, I know Selena Fox has been to more than two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where you met Dana recently? Because I know that you had you were the FOI coordinator in Chicago when they were there.
Mm-hmm, I was, and that's where I met Dina, yes. Well, I had corresponded with Dina and talked with her over the phone, but I met her in person at the Parliament of World Religion. And in that 100th year celebration was the first year that they had included the indigenous people, the Native Americans, the goddess, the pagans, all higher forms, all the cultures that acknowledged a divine presence, God, goddess. It was very nice.
Yes, I haven't been to one, but that's definitely on my list to try to get invited to it. I think it's under invitation still, right?
No, it's not. It's
okay.
You just Google it and you can purchase the tickets and you go. You just go wherever it is that year. So it's open to the public. So it is very nice.
Oh, I definitely have to put that on my list. Yes. And I also know that you have your own radio show, because I know that we have, 9 minutes or 8 minutes?
Yeah, about 7 minutes.
So can you talk about your radio show, and do you have any plugs? Because we always invite people to plug what they're doing lately, and I know you have a holiday special coming up. So
I have the Gail Live Show, the second and fourth Wednesday of every month at 7 p.m. So we're on two nights of the month. We're on the same at the same time. And I do a live channeling, and once the message is finished, then we open up for questions. And it's quite lovely and very informative. A couple shows ago, we actually had an exorcism that was performed during the channeling part of it. Very unique to be dealing with that and that split attention and also answering questions at the same time. And so you can go to the website, Keys to Ascension, www.keystoascension.com, and on the left side of the screen will be the Gail Live Show. You click on that, and it'll give you the information. On my services for the channelings, attunements, healings, we are running a holiday special, and the first of next week we will have the holiday prices on the website, so you can go check those out as well. And also sign up for the newsletter. I write a newsletter, a monthly newsletter. Sometimes it's more like 3 weeks, but I write something at least every month. But as information comes to me and I'm being guided to share, then I share teachings through my experiences. So it allows people to connect. And I had a call on Saturday of someone in Europe who had read one of my newsletters and was the piece that she needed for healing. And it was very touching to hear that it's this young woman was able to heal and through something that I shared.
Yeah, that's wonderful news.
It is. It's delightful.
Yes.
So
and I've started
taking
some flaxseed oil, as you asked me to do that when I was in Chicago, and I'm not sure what it's doing, to be honest. But I do feel warmth from it when I take it, or like a little added heat.
And what was that? Did you say that?
Black seed oil, or black seed.
I bought black seed oil
because at the Mom's, which is the market that we have here, that's what they had.
Mm-hmm.
They had black seed oil, and they were saying that it would assimilate with my blood a lot quicker than taking a pill.
Oh, yeah.
And I know when I got back from Chicago, I went right from a cold to an ear infection to a sinus infection. And, you know, it took my voice out and everything. It was not pleasant. You could ask Daniel. And I bought some Colonial Silver, which is Daniel's favorite, and I bought some black seed oil.
I use oil for tinctures, and I do sometimes use Colloidal Silver as well, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm feeling a lot better.
And that black seed oil is really good for raising your immune system, and it's antiviral, antibacterial, antifungal. It's a very nice oil. So you can mix it, and you can, when you do an oil straight, or what they call neat, it absorbs into the bloodstream through the skin transdermally really fast. You need to take care with some of the oils, like clove oil. Sometimes it's a little harsh on the skin, so you have to check the phenols and see before you put an oil on. I like to recommend that people do a little patch test. Things like flower essences rarely have that experience, but some of the oils, some of the herbs can be high in phenols that can irritate the skin. So always do a patch test. But yes, that black seed oil is very, very good. Highly recommend it. Everybody should have it in their cabinet.
Oh, yeah. And clove is great for killing parasites. Lysine tincture is great for immune system. There's so many great tinctures and oils.
So many great.
Well, tea tree oil has great bacteria killing and antiseptic qualities. Coconut oil even does for rubbing on your head and things like that. So it works beautifully.
Mm-hmm. I used to get tea tree oil on my scalp lately.
I am working on my website. I will soon have a page where there will be formulations that I have accumulated from friends and from my upline, Mary Hardy, who is extremely gifted in essential oils with Young Living. So I'm going to be having formulations and ways to use the oils in ceremony. So that's an upcoming page that will be on the website.
All right.
So you can contribute anything.
Getting down to it here.
Yep.
I want to thank you very much for joining us, Gail Mack.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us and allowing us to talk to you about your channeling and keys to ascension.
Thank you. I'm so grateful that you asked me. I enjoyed it. And, Janice, it was such a pleasure to see you in October at the Goddess Festival and spend more time
Thank
with you and been here. And, Daniel, too, it was nice speaking with you and all the callers. Thank you very much. And I'll talk with you again. Have a good evening.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
And she can be found at Keys to Ascension is the name of her website. And we're running out of time here, folks. Remember that Main Street Universe is a network reminding you that the mysteries and possibilities of the universe are closer to Main Street than you may have ever imagined.
And I can imagine a lot.
Have a great evening. And the song is slow again, but that's okay, because we got instruments in here.